Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Bikini and the Brain podcast. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And I am here with the legendary, the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Bowe from Team Elite Physique.
Hello, everyone. This is an exciting week. So you are listening to this podcast just a few days after Ashley would be getting off the stage of the Clash. We don't know what happened yet because it's actually a few days before she steps on stage for the Clash. But in preparation for the Clash, Ashley's actually had probably like an 8-month prep, not intentionally, but because of quarantine and the shows canceling and everything being rescheduled, and then her surgery at the Arnold. So she's been in prep for a long time, very long time, mm-hmm. with breaks here and there, of course, but because of not just this prep and other preps, she's got a lot of tricks up her sleeve that Ooh. She is going to kind of tell you about yeah. in today's podcast, because today's podcast is about...
We're going to talk about some dieting hacks. Like, people are always wondering, how do I stay on my diet for so dang long? How is it possible to eat chicken and vegetables so much and not get tired of it?
Yeah. And so I think we're going to go into some cool stuff. This one will be, what's nice is sometimes the topics are like technical and I'll talk more. And sometimes the more like first person, like, hey, mm-hmm. as a competitor, and this one's kind of like more yours than mine. So I'm really excited to hear some of these hacks. Cause I remember that video we did, we have it on probably both of our channels. It's like a YouTube hack video of diet hacks. And there were so many cool things that I didn't even know about in that. Like, remember that one we did with the foods hack? It was like a diet foods mm-hmm. hack. Like, I found like two new foods in there. I think that's what got me on Swedish Fish.
Yeah, the snack review.
Yeah, snack review too. So there's some cool tricks that she's got that can really help out. And I'm excited to see if I come up with something new too.
Right. So I think, like, first and foremost, one of the biggest mistakes people make whenever they're eating or they want to eat is they can't really tell the difference between true hunger and a craving, right? So a lot of people think they might be hungry, but maybe it's just a little craving. And there are some telltale signs. You might feel physically more tired, like wiped out. If it's like a true sense of hunger, your stomach might be rumbling. Whereas a craving might be something that you're just desiring. Maybe you're in some sort of a mood, like something throughout the day triggered your mood to where you want to eat some foods that maybe you shouldn't.
Okay. And how do you go about doing that and figuring that out? And not just that, but what do you do?
That's an Adam question for sure. Yeah. But I would say, like I said, the hunger is more of that feeling inside. Are you physically hungry? Is your stomach rumbling? Is like your energy just wiped out? Or is it something like you're thinking of? Is it a food that you haven't had in a while and maybe you're in a bad mood today and you just want something sweet, you want chocolate, you know? I think you gotta ask yourself, put the pause before you eat and ask yourself, are you truly hungry or is this a craving?
Yeah, and I think that it's pretty identifiable. Like, the hunger is like a real thing. Like, you feel it, you know, you feel you need it. You feel sometimes you're lightheaded, like you feel the hunger. There's sometimes hunger pain. What's funny is I went through like my first experience with like hunger pain, like ever. And it's funny because I think that sometimes, because I grew up with this, I'm just so used to it that it's like, I'm hardcore, but not intentionally, because it's like just, it's normal for me. So, but to other people, that's hardcore. But for me, it's like, no, everyone does that. You know, it's like, that's how everyone was when I grew up. All I knew was bodybuilders. So like, we all did that. Like, it's just life, you know? Mm-hmm. But to a lot of people, it's not normal. And so for me, I'm like, I don't know, I'm kind of used to it. But I actually never had like hunger pains until, so I went, I use our team doctor, and they balance my hormones and stuff out. And then they check my testosterone, my growth hormone and all that. And they gave me this stuff to help my growth hormone go a little higher. And it was like it was like an over the counter thing to make my growth hormone go a little higher. And so I was like, okay, I'll try this. And it started kicking in like 5 days later when I took it. And when I took it, I had the hunger pain for my first time. And I was like, it finally kicked in. I got my first true spike of like growth hormone to be released. And I was so hungry that like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, oh, this is hunger pain. But I was like 35 when I finally figured it out.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's what people go through. That sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually a real thing. I'm like, I just thought people were kind of being like, you know, like snowflakes is the term these days, right? Mm-hmm. Snowflakes about it, and they're complaining because they're not used to it. But actually, that's a real thing. So needless to say, I actually stopped taking that because it was like, you're supposed to take it before you work out. And it started kicking in, and it was working for sure because your hunger was crazy. And what happened was it was ruining my workouts. I was so hungry.
Oh.
Like all I would think about was how hungry I was.
Aww.
So I was like, you know what? It's totally counterproductive to what I wanted to do. So I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But so now I've experienced the hunger pain, and it is tough, you know? And
right.
So there's a, I think a clear identifiable difference. Do I want chocolate or do I want anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I just need to
something
eat?
To fill up? Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be kind of the difference between the two. Cause there's a pretty significant difference, you know?
Absolutely.
So
I would say, so once you figure out whether it's hunger or a craving, you can better accommodate to fix this problem, right? So if you're truly hungry, you know, let's say you've eaten all your meals for the day, you're already to the max on your calories, what your coach allows or whatever the case may be. There are some things that you can still eat and kind of get away with to satisfy that craving. First off, I would say for us, I think one of the reasons why I don't get hungry as easily is we kind of have unlimited vegetables in my plan. Like, and when I say vegetables, I'm not talking like sweet potatoes or potatoes. We're talking like green beans, asparagus, cauliflower, broccoli, the green leafy vegetables. So having that vegetable in my diet and kind of really fills it up and doesn't allow me to get hungry too often. You know, I think that sometimes if we're lacking those vegetables, because let's be honest, they're not the funnest to eat sometimes for a lot of people, we'll get hungry quicker because they don't have anything in place to kind of fill them up. So it's very important to have a lot of those healthy, satisfying vegetables in your diet.
Yeah, and I have no problem. I tell my athletes, hey, if you're super hungry, have 3 servings of broccoli, have 3 servings of, because it's a lot of volume.
Yes.
You know, and then the net calories aren't that significant. So when we talk about calories and net calories and all these different things, you have to understand there's this thing called the thermic effect of food. Okay, so if you're, and this is why I'm not a fan of macro dieting, because when you look at food on its, like, if you look at food on the table, you're like, okay, that broccoli has 100 calories, that pizza has 100 calories. They're the same 100 calories, right? And you're like, okay, yeah, it is. But once you ingest it and you go through the process of digesting food, the calories are different. The net calories are different. Because broccoli, 100 calories, you're going to absorb, because it's so fibrous and so dense, your body is going to have to use a lot of calories to digest that food. So if you took in 100, I'm just going to throw out a number here. I don't have it on top of my head, but I think if I remember correctly, it's around like out of 100 calories of broccoli, only 40 of those are available because of the fiber, because the digestion process of it is so difficult, because your body has to work to take it down, to break it down. But 100 calories of something that's really easily digested, like let's say a soda or, you know, an ice cream, it's very simple for the body to digest that. It's not like it has to break down fiber. It's really easy. It's already semi-processed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're going to get 95 of those 100 calories. So there's a difference of like net calorie consumption versus calorie consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm not a huge fan of macro dieting, because we're so data driven that I want to have like similar data,
right,
you know, every week. And if you have 2000 calories from broccoli and 2000 calories from, you know, from processed foods, the net calories and how it's affecting you is going to be different. On paper, yes, it's 2000 calories. I get that. In the body, after it's digested, net calories totally different because of the thermic effect of food. So, so that being said, because the, you know, vegetables have such a low net calorie, it's, you can go pretty ham with those. You know, if you're
ham.
If you're really hungry and you're just dying, and if you're one of my athletes listening to this, double up, triple up on your veggies for a day. It's not going to be that, it's not going to hurt you that bad. You know, we're talking, even if you ate a ton of broccoli like that day because you're just starving, we're probably going to get a net like 100-150 total more calories throughout the day. It's not going to be that bad. You know, it's not, you're not going to pay for it like you paid for eating a cake or something.
Right.
Like that.
So, it's much better to give into the broccoli than the cake, right?
Yeah. And it's like, you know what? You're just dealing with the hunger issue that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's
tomorrow will be better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably gonna make you super regular for the next day or two anyway. So you get a benefit out of it.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll have those days where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. But that's only like a few times a month. But that's when I'll have those extra vegetables. And another thing that I found is really helpful as well is like to keep in the fridge is like a bag of shredded cabbage or shredded lettuce. And that way, like, I have my meals already put together. And then if I'm like, okay, I'm extra hungry today, I'll just add that in as a filler. And it really does the trick for me. And as far as like vegetables too, that's one of those things that can get boring pretty fast. But if you know how to cook it and you know how to season it, you can make it taste different every time. You'd be surprised how different you can make chicken and broccoli taste. You can cook it in different ways. You can season it in different ways, use different condiments. Like, for example, if we're talking about chicken, you can grill it. You can put it in the slow cooker and shred it. You can put it in the air fryer. You can bake it. You can cube it. You can shred all of that, you know? And that's just the way you cook things. Think about ways you can season things and the condiments you can use. The great thing about 2020 these days is that we have so many different options for low calorie, like condiments and fun things you can do to your meals to make them taste better without the calories. Like, I feel like, you know, back in, let's say, 1980, they didn't have sugar-free barbecue sauce, for example.
It wasn't even an option.
So it's like, you know, we're so lucky that we have these things we can do to modify our food to make it taste better without all the extra calories.
I'll date myself a little bit here, but I started working in nutrition stores in 1997 or 98 in supplement stores. And we used to have like the protein bars back then were so bad. And it's like you literally did it just because you had to eat something on the go, and not because you wanted it in any capacity. Like, they had these, the Metrix bars they make now are really good. But the ones back then, they were like, it was like a foil wrapper, and it was like, I don't know what they would do, but the foil wrapper was like always stuck to the bar. So you just like peel around the bar because it was stuck. And it was always hard as a rock. No matter what you did, it was hard as a rock. But it was just like, you had to be so hardcore to eat protein bars back then. And then Oh Yeah came out with their bar, and it like changed the world. Like, what? This is like a Snickers. And it really wasn't even that, like back then, it wasn't even that good. They make one bars now. That's, I could tell you kind of how they've gone. But the, yes, but now we have one bars, Quest bars. I mean, there's so many different bars that are like actually like a dessert.
I love protein bars, and I love protein cookies and all that. Oh, that's a weakness for me. That's like, you know, what's kind of lame of me is like after a show, sometimes I just want like two protein bars. Like, forget Cheesecake Factory. Just give me like two protein bars. Yummy.
I'm the same way. I
love it.
Towards the end. So towards the end, we'll generally clean up the diet and like get rid of most things that aren't like 100% we can count on, you know, type of thing. And at the end, we'll get rid of even like protein bars and stuff. And I'll even get rid of like any artificial sweeteners, like when I'm doing a show too. So for about 10 days, I'll do it. All I want when I'm at like the expos and stuff at the show and the booths, all I want is like the taste of like amino acids or pre-workout. Yes. And I'll smell
samples.
It. You'll see the guys like mixing the little shakers, and I'll like smell it in the air when I walk by their booth. I'm like, I just want that. I don't care about anything else. I just want like the artificial colored water.
Diet Coke and a protein bar for me. Sometimes the go-to one is just like, you know, you get off a show and it's way too late. And you're just like, I'm too tired. Just give me a protein bar. Diet Coke sometimes is a very good snack for me. But, you know, I think another great thing is like we have foods too that are very low calorie as well. I don't know if you've ever tried these before. Have you tried shirataki noodles?
I don't think so. They're
like called miracle noodles. And they're like 15 calories for a whole bag. They're mostly fiber. Now, those things have a very strange consistency, a strange texture. If you know how to flavor it correctly, it's really good. Like, I like to put the Bragg's liquid aminos on that. Oh, that's so good. And mix it with chicken. It's like a chicken stir fry and add some vegetables. That's good. And it's like one of those foods, super low calorie, and it fills you up. So, you know, anybody dealing with hunger, like if they're always hungry, you know, that's a great thing to do as well. And that's just one of many foods that are pretty low calorie and, you know, fill you up. Another one of my favorite little snacks, you know, this is slicing up cucumber and sprinkling stevia on top.
Yeah.
Sometimes some salt too. And it's such a refreshing snack, especially for summer. It's like it's like comparable to like a watermelon or something. It's so good.
I do that with lemon and like a hot It's like it's just the little guy in the cart.
The little guy in the cart?
Yeah, well, in my old, when I was a kid, so in like kind of Hispanic neighborhoods, they have a little guy in a cart, and he goes around with like vegetables and fruit, and he cuts them up and puts like a chili powder.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, we used to go to that guy, and he'd do it for like a dollar or $2, give you a big cup of those. And so like, it's like nostalgic for me to have those cucumber, lemon, and like hot chili powder on it, and I could eat those like, it's so good. I love those. So another way for cucumber. And one of the things too that I think really helps me when I'm dieting to keep, because for me it's about volume, just food volume. So I'm a big vegetable guy when I'm dieting because it really fills me up with volume, but it's the cauliflowered rice. So if you guys have never eaten cauliflower rice, and if you do that the right way, you can make that really good. And I think a lot of times, and when you hear me say I'm not a fan of macro dieting, it doesn't mean I think you should only eat chicken and broccoli. Like all my menu plans have options within the menu plan. So it's never just chicken. It'll say chicken, turkey, lean ground beef, lean ground turkey, lean ground chicken, fish, egg whites, and even like whey protein. You can kind of exchange and mess around with any of the options. There's a bunch of fishes and stuff too. So it's like all those options. And then you have all your vegetable options, which is like 15 of them. And then there's like all of your carb options, which is like 8 of them. So you can make meals and still be clean, but still have options. It's like, this is a sport like any other sport. And it's hard sometimes. It's not convenient sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a sport. Yeah. It's not supposed to be. It's not you. The problem is people think, this is the issue, I think. People think health and fitness, and then they relate health and fitness to extreme fitness. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, extreme fitness becomes a sport, and it's different than health and fitness. Mm-hmm. There's two different ways of approaching it. There's the health and fitness route, which is, hey, you know, be healthy, be fit, enjoy it, you know, have as much flexibility in the diet as you can, and just try to lose some weight. And then there's, hey, I want to win Miss Olympia. Okay, well, that's a different process. That's going to be a lot more rigid, you know? So that's, I think that we have to look at that too. So when you're in the, hey, I want to win Miss Olympia, we're kind of talking about that today. How can you still eat clean and have a bunch of different options within it, and how can it still be fun and not make you go crazy? So when we're talking this, there's so many options in terms of like the spice thing, I think is severely underestimated by people. I think like so many people just do salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And some people just do Mrs. Dash, which is crazy, which Mrs. Dash tastes great, but there's no salt in it, right? So they're like, they're doing whatever they can. They just need that flavor. So one, I don't think anyone should ever reduce their salt intake. Just keep it normal and consistent throughout your diet. You're going to be fine. And then one of the tricks that Ashley has that I have too is we go to spice stores and it makes it so fun. Like that's a fun.
It's an adventure.
Just going there.
Is it open yet?
I don't know. Maybe
I need to go soon.
Oh, you know what? I asked them about 4 weeks ago if I could, and they said they only had like order ahead, bring it to the door.
That's lame. I want to smell the spices.
Yeah. You go in the spice store and you just like spend like an hour there and you open lids and you smell the spice. You're like, oh, I'm going to try this with this today and this with that tomorrow. You know, that's my thing. And it becomes like a really fun thing. Actually cooks a lot when she's in prep and cooks for Hugo and actually like will make him food because it's fun for her to cook.
Yeah, right? I love trying different things. Yeah. Experiment on his food. Especially since he can eat the food that I can't, which Hugo's my boyfriend, by the way, if you're confused. But
it's not me.
He's healthy, but he doesn't compete anymore. And, you know, it's fun to like play around with the food that he eats because it's like I can like have fun. I love cooking. I love baking. I love meal prepping. I'm weird, I know, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know something, Adam? Like you brought up a good point. The people that like go really extreme with the spices or lack of spices. I even heard preps where people aren't doing any spices, no condiments, nothing to make their food taste any different. And you'll find that like they'll be so dedicated, but that's not very sustainable because at some point you're going to get bored.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think like adding these little things, like even if it's a few more calories of like a sugar-free condiment or something in the long run, like it's more sustainable. It's like, oh, I can do this. This tastes good. Like, or I found a new hot sauce. You know, I think that is so much better than just making the most bland like food that you don't look forward to, because that is not sustainable. That might be something you could do for maybe 12 weeks for a prep, but are you going to be able to continue on, or is this going to make your prep life totally miserable?
I think that's when people go over the top with it, and then that's when they have these really bad responses, like, because all they did was eat chicken and broccoli. That's literally all they ate.
Miserable. I wouldn't look forward to that. I look forward to my meals. I'm like,
that's what I don't get. I mean, I do understand. I've done this for a very long time. So for me, I'm like, I feel better when I eat clean than when I eat junk food at this point. I do have a cheat meal like once a week right now, but even then, sometimes I just don't even want it that much. It is every Sunday I get one cheat meal. You know that. And like I did a little personal pizza from Red Robin with chicken on it. And I said it's kind of healthy, but thin crust with chicken on it. And I did it twice, 2 weekends in a row. And I was like, man, I don't feel great. Like after it, I just don't feel awesome. So now I'm just like doing like a burger, a gluten-free bun, gluten burger, which is not really that big of a cheat. You know, and I just feel better. I don't know. For me, it's just like a feeling thing.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But I've been eating clean for years. I like it. It's, you know, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
I don't either.
You know, Trifecta sends me my food. So I do get food from Trifecta. So it's pretty much the same food all the time. Like it's always, I do bison burger, turkey burger, chicken, and salmon. But, and it's the same, it's cooked the same way, it's the same, but I just throw spices on it and it's different every time. I'll throw cauliflower rice in it and it's different, different vegetables, I'll air fry it, things like that. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it, you know, I'm not feeling like it's redundant for me personally, but I have a spice cabinet that's a whole cabinet, you know, and I have like 50 or 60 spices at least, something like that. So it's, you know, I just mix it around and it's just totally different and fun each time. So I think that's one of the big things that people really don't really kind of go too hardcore with it when it's unnecessary, you know. Like chicken is the same as turkey breast, is the same as lean ground beef, is the same as, you know, fish, and you know, like there's just, you have so many options that are clean that there's no reason I think that it needs to be so bad, so like crazy. The chicken and broccoli, fish and asparagus only thing is just not necessary.
Right.
So
how miserable.
That's tough, you know, and I think I could see people getting pushed over the edge with that. But with all the options we have now, I don't see it being that bad. And you can have all these little things, like you could have the Swedish fish once in a while. You could have, you know, you can make these things where it's like once a week, you can calculate on your plan or whatever too. And that's no problem, you know. So Swedish fish one, I really like.
That one is, we're going to get into the cravings part in a minute, because we are still on the hunger, which I have one more thing to add about the hunger. A lot of people get dehydration mixed up with hunger too, or the lack of hydration in your system, lack of water, is going to make you hungrier than you typically would be. I mean, it makes sense, right? If your food in your stomach is like very wet, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? If there's something in there to fill the food.
It takes up volume.
Yes, it takes up more volume so that the food can absorb that. But if you don't have that water in there, if you're not hydrated, you're going to get hungrier way quicker.
Yeah, big time. That's a really underestimated thing. I think, so this is funny because I'm this way and Tori's this way too. Tori's like my main, like she's worked with me for like 6 years. I work with me more than any other coach. So, but we both hate water. Everyone's like, how do you guys hate water? Like, I just hate water. I don't know. I just hate the way it tastes by itself. So we use water flavoring, and like Mio water flavoring is a great option. Even throwing like a tea bag in your water jug. Like if you have a 1 gallon water jug, throwing like 2 tea bags in it, like cinnamon with some liquid stevia in the whole thing. You could really get your water. If you kind of don't look forward to the water, that's a great option. Throwing the liquid stevia, tea bags, Mio water flavoring. Sometimes I'll throw in iced tea Mio flavoring, and then also pure lemon juice. And then that makes it like a, what do they call that? That half lemonade.
Arnold Palmer?
Is it Arnold Palmer? Yeah, with stevia, and that's really good. And I can drink a ton of water when it's flavored, and there's nothing wrong with doing that really all the way through your prep. And then, you know, towards the end, there's that kind of debate if you should cut artificial sweeteners, if you shouldn't. I cut them just to be safe, but yeah, that's a really good way of getting your water in. So you have any other water tricks that you do?
You know, like you mentioned, we do cut sweeteners towards the end. We're talking about like the last week. We're not doing that a month out. No. But the last week till show, we'll cut those out. I love those sparkling waters like LaCroix. Oh, I'm so fancy. Like those are great substitutes when you can't have things with sweetener. Of course, I would rather have like a Mio drink, but if it's peak week, I'm doing LaCroix, a lot of sparkling water. I love it. It tastes so good to me. So that's another helpful tip as well. But now I kind of wanted to get into the craving part. So we just talked about hunger and what you should do if you have true hunger let's talk about the cravings, okay? Because cravings, you can get them and you can be basically full. Like your stomach isn't hurting. You don't necessarily feel unenergized, but you just can't get that taste of a food out of your mind. Maybe it's something sweet. Maybe it's something salty, but you know, it's not true hunger. So there are some things that we can do about that. You know, I think that a lot of times I get sometimes a craving after I eat, right? And it's like, I finish my meal, I'm full, but I don't know, I kind of just want my taste buds haven't caught up with my stomach yet, if that makes sense. Like I still want the taste of it more. And in that case, you know what I'll do? Is I'll have like a glass of water and I'll brush my teeth and then chew a piece of gum. And that cuts the craving off immediately. Because usually when your mouth is clean and it's minty, you're not gonna be like, I want chocolate now. You know what I mean? Especially with gum, because with gum, it's great because it's like you're chewing on something. So it's like keeping your mouth entertained, keeping your taste buds entertained.
That's a good trick. Mm-hmm. I've never tried it, but I want to try that. But I've seen you do that a lot. I've seen you do that often. So I'm like,
and I have really fresh breath, you know?
Yeah, Ashley's kind of a, Ashley's definitely like a teeth Nazi. She is every meal she'll get a floss. And do you brush every meal or is it just floss or milk?
Well, it depends. If I'm like at a restaurant, I don't brush my teeth. I'll use a flossy pick and then I'll use the gum, like a half piece of gum.
Ashley has the best teeth hygiene. I used to think I had really good teeth hygiene because I floss once a day and brush twice a day. And I'm like, rinse my mouth out like a few times. But after I saw you, I was like, man, I really need to step up my game. Like, the best. I don't know if that helps you at all with this stuff because you can just.
I mean, maybe.
I wonder.
I am very OCD about that, especially with flossing. Like, I hate the feeling of food in my teeth. I gotta floss that out immediately.
Every meal for years. I mean, for years.
I always got a flossy pick on hand. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I guess that with that, that's the we got the cravings part of it down and food volume a little bit.
We need to talk about fun snacks though, we can have snacks when we're having another craving. So whenever you do have like a craving and maybe you still can't get out of your mind or whatever, there are some very tasty low calorie snacks on the market. You mentioned before the Smart Sweets, which are very comparable to Swedish Fish. Those are so good. I love Smart Sweets so much. The little fishies, they're in a turquoise bag. Those are so good. They're like all fiber. So good.
Yeah, and they're pretty much all fiber. I think the net calories on those is like 70 mm-hmm. calories. So, and that's the thing too. That's why I'm like, I'm not a fan of pure macro dieting because the data is so important. You know, when we're talking about data collection and adjusting people's menu plans, usually it's within like 10 to 20%. The problem with a lot of macro dieting is that you're getting a different total net calories throughout the week, every single week based on what you ate. So the effect is going to be slightly different when we're talking about data at the end of the week, you know, where you are. And it's also the least accurate form of dieting in terms of reporting. That's been researched. So when you have, you know, a lot of processed foods, a lot of fast foods, whatever, the more that stuff is like processed, the more that stuff is like fast food, the less accurate it's going to be. Because obviously these big companies know that the lower they can report their calories, the more likely you are to buy it. That's just salesmanship, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it's just, unfortunately, it's not highly regulated in the United States. Like it should be on those reporting labels. Like you see it happen all the time where people are under-reporting stuff all the time. So that's why I'm always a little worried about it. But if you're one of those people who need that type of like, okay, I'm just not going to ever be successful if I can't have something. What I like doing is a calculated free meal throughout the week. Mm-hmm. So I'll have, some people will have like 800 all the way up to like 1800 one meal, and they can do whatever they want within those calorie ranges once a week. And I think that if you're one of those people that need that, so it's totally okay. And you just need to like tell your coach, hey, I want to have this, but at least they have the data and it's not like every single meal. So it's pretty close to mm-hmm. that data, you know? So like if it's 1800 calories, obviously 1800 calories of broccoli and 1800 calories of pizza is going to be totally different in terms of like the thermic effect of that food and the net calories. But at least it's one meal. We know that it's going to be somewhere we know it's going to be close to that 1800 because it's probably going to be mostly not like broccoli. and you could do that too. So eating clean, having these choices, having these spices, maybe saying, okay, once a day, I want these Smart Sweets and it's mm-hmm. only, you know, 70 net calories. Like we can throw something like that on a plan. So there's still that option And then really you don't have to eliminate that till the end. So if you're someone who struggles with this, find something that's realistic that you can tell your coach, hey, I want to have Smart Sweets on my plan once a day. I'll get through any diet if I can just have that, right? That type of thing. Well, then, hey, then we got ourselves a diet that works. So they say the best diet is one you can adhere to, right? But you also have to match that up with your goals. You know, I also want to be a pro bikini competitor. Well, we're probably not going to be doing that pure macro dieting all the way through because very, very few people are able to accomplish that. So this way we can kind of find the best of both worlds. So find one of these snacks that maybe Ashley talks about. Having something like that, you know, once a day, once every other day, whatever. And if you can make you get through the diet, then great. And you need to be realistic with yourself on your expectations and your freedoms for your expectations. So if you want to be as free as possible, but you also want to be the best in the world, well, there's no one in the best of the world in any sport that is as free as possible. It's just not possible. You know, like it hasn't happened yet, at least. I won't say it's not possible, it just hasn't happened yet. So, you know, if you look at like these guys who are training for the top of anything, they are hardcore with their diet, they are hardcore with their training. They've been training like that since a fetus, like Ashley. And they just don't stop. So I want to just give that both sides of those things for you to kind of give you a real perspective of like, okay, what are my expectations realistic with my goals? Or are my expectations really just transformation client based right now and more health and fitness based than competition fitness based right now? You got to figure out, hey, what is it that I truly want? And do I want it more than the inconvenience of eating clean for a long period, right? Type of thing. So that's, you're going to have to make the decision for yourself. You know, neither of them are wrong. They're both right. But that being said, Smart Sweets is
Smart
awesome.
Smart cakes. Oh, those are so good. They're so good. The main ingredient is egg white, and they're basically comparable to a cupcake. It is so good.
Yeah.
I think it's like 35 calories per cake. But yeah, so, so delicious. I love those. They're the sugar-free meringues. Those are, you know, they're basically air. You know what I'm talking about? That's what they're called, meringues, right?
Yeah, they disintegrate.
They melt in your mouth. Those are good. I don't think you were so much a fan of those, but I loved those. Those were good.
Yeah, you really liked those. I don't know. For me, it tasted a little chemically. Yeah. You know, but I could see, I mean, Anya likes them too.
Yeah.
She eats a whole bucket of them, and it's only like 50 calories, the whole thing. It's like crazy, yeah.
Yeah, that is so cool. And you know something else I was thinking too is like, depending on how close you are to your show, and I do know that there are a lot of girls that have those like PMS chocolate cravings, and I'll tell you what I've done in the past before. I love dark chocolate. I think it's so good. But with chocolate, you always got to make sure that it's not like the sugary chocolate, right? So I love buying like the 100% chocolate unsweetened, and I'll like dip it into like stevia, like powdered stevia. So good.
Really?
I mean, I love dark chocolate though.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's like one of those things, like if you're really having that craving, and if your coach allows, maybe you can substitute that for a serving of fat, have a like, you know, 150 calories worth of this really dark chocolate instead of like the avocado oil on your salad or whatever the case may be, you know, talk it over with your coach. But that's another great alternative too. I think a lot of people have that chocolatey craving. But another thing you can do as well is like, the great thing about protein, like you said, with the bars, the same thing with the shakes, man, they're so good these days. Like you can make yourself basically a chocolate milkshake with just chocolate protein powder, maybe a few extra scoops of the powdered cocoa powder that people bake with, and xanthan gum. That's a thickening agent. So you can get that in like basically any grocery store, but xanthan gum, and also ice, of course, and maybe some extra stevia if you want to make it a little sweeter. And there you go. Blend it together, and it's like a chocolate milkshake. So you just got to like learn how to make things taste good.
Yeah, exactly. I like that, actually, that trick. Because with the dark chocolate, that's an acceptable fat for, you know, for a lot of people. So, anyway, well, I'm going to try to, any other ones you have?
Because we've got so many like snacks listed on our little video.
What we should do is we should link, what I'm going to do is if you're on the podcast, I'll try to link the video. I don't know if the podcast will let me link the video on the description, but on the YouTube version of it, I'll link it to Ashley's, and Ashley has a lot of cool stuff on her channel with the diet hack one.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. So you guys can watch that one too and have some cool diet hacks in there. But there's so many cool little things that you can do. You can definitely fit them on your plan. I'm a fan of having that actually, that snack actually listed, so we can kind of start using that as data. So, but yeah, that's not a problem. So, I guess what else is there with this?
I want to know what our viewers like to eat when they're having a craving.
Oh, you know what? That's super helpful.
Yeah. I want to steal your secrets.
Yeah.
I want to chat.
We've done that once before. We had people list what they had. We usually find like two or three snacks. So yeah, if you're watching this or on your comments, the podcast, whatever, put it in there because it'll probably help someone. And we're probably going to steal some. So we all help each other in this community,
maybe,
right?
Maybe we'll do a snack review version 3.
Oh, that'd be cool. Like new snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? You know what I want to try? This is a cool one too. It's Professor Nuts. You seen that? So we've talked to you about it a little bit. I've tried it, and it's funny because the owner of the company, his name is Joe. And it first came out and I was like, this can't be right. Like this is one of those companies that's like pretending their calories are too low for what it is. And then I was like, because Phoebe gave me a little bit. And so she's like, yeah, contact the guy, Joe. And I was like, all right, this can't be right. And so like I contacted, he had all this data, all this research, he published a research article on it. I was like, damn, this is actually like low calorie peanut butter. So that's another one that's like, that one blows my mind. I still don't understand. I'm actually gonna meet with Joe. He's gonna come down to either Denver or Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna meet with him because he's gonna explain it to me. Because I don't understand how he got it to be like low calorie peanut butter. But it's pretty good. I won't say it's exactly like peanut butter, but it's very close. And it is like, I want to say it's like half the calories. It's crazy. The stuff they're coming out with, you know, we're going to have like no calorie cake in like 6 years. Like it's crazy what they're coming out with. So check that one out.
You know what I forgot to, that's super helpful that I eat so much of? Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. Sugar-free Jell-O.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love sugar-free Jell-O.
Yeah.
That is so tasty to me. And I have like a recipe with I have a vegan recipe too for sugar-free gel with using agar powder. And we'll put that in the description
What's
too.
What's the one you made me the other day?
Agar. That's the vegan.
Oh, okay.
It has a little bit of a different texture than a sugar-free Jell-O would. Like let's say you get the boxed sugar-free Jell-O or the sugar-free Jell-O in a already in a cup. It has a little bit of different texture than that. You have to basically buy agar powder. I would say the best place to buy it would be online or like Amazon or something because I don't really see it too often in stores. But that is another really good one.
That was good.
I love me some sugar-free Jell-O. That's like a good, like refreshing snack for when you're craving something sweet. So I almost forgot that one. Orange.
Yeah. So I guess with that, is that the one? Is that it for today?
Yeah. I want to know your snack. So let us have your secret.
Yeah. So moral of the story, clean eating doesn't need to suck, you know. If anything, it's probably the healthiest way to eat. So there's a lot of ways to mix it up. You don't need to just eat chicken and broccoli. Even at the very highest level, you have options of tons of different meats.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to eat just fish at the end. Ashley's never ate just, she's actually never ate fish, period.
Never fish.
Ugh. Have you been eating fish in your life ever?
I mean, I've tried it.
Okay.
I think the last time I ate fish was like Fish Stick Tuesday in grade school, like second grade.
Count.
And then I threw up.
Oh, really?
And after that, I gagged every Fish Stick Tuesday.
Yeah. So obviously you don't need it. Ashley is looking crispy right now.
Crispy.
Waist is tiny. Ooh. And she's eating chicken. It doesn't need to suck. You just have to make it not suck. You really do have to like have fun with it. Go to the spice store, live it up with it, you know, talk to your friends, look at videos. There's so many different things you can do,
mm-hmm.
even the ways of cooking it. So anyway, let us know your tricks so we can learn too. And with that, we will say goodbye. Thank you so much for watching and rating us 5 stars. Be thirsty for them stars. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.